I like to pick a seat this week. I like your draft, I'll tell you why. Matty Dresser.
Good morning again, everyone. This morning's gospel lesson is a continuation from last week. And a little bit about the context of it, as we heard from last week, was more about warnings and also encouragements. Last week's gospel lesson warned about storing up treasure for oneself without. It's important to have that second part of the sentence. Storing up treasure without being rich towards God. Jesus counseled against this worry and then assured the disciples of God's love, that endless treasure and this providence. So this week's gospel lesson is about the promises of hope and is of special interest, especially to Luke's church during this writing, which is suffering an incredible amount of persecution. They're worried. People are dying. And it's also of special interest to a church that has been looking for the second coming for several years. In their mind's eye, this second coming was immediate and hadn't happened yet. They're wondering, when will it take place? Where is it? When will Christ come back? This morning's lesson is from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in verses 32 through 40. But before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination? Your word, O God, reveals your will for our lives. By the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the wisdom to attend to your call every day, and make us ready to hear and obey. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The 12th chapter of Luke, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or the third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. As I said, last week's sermon was about the question was, to whom do you turn? Who do you turn to? And so this week's question is, what does it take to be secure? Where is the treasure? And that's a question with a thousand answers, right? I mean, to be secure requires perhaps a good job, And so we need to get an education or even learn a good trade. To be secure requires insurance to protect us against catastrophe. Life insurance, health insurance, car insurance. It probably makes sense to even have an umbrella policy for the wide variety of risks that may happen these days. Perhaps security is that we have cash to tide us over in an emergency. And some people say that there's even a need for a rainy day fund that you need to have in your savings at least 6 months of savings as a just in case. And to be secure requires good health. So we need regular medical checkups and we need to eat well and have a healthy diet and get regular exercise. And to be secure requires us to be smart about first aid. To be able to respond effectively and quickly about a medical emergency. Or to be secure requires protection against accidents. And quite a number of people, I know us, drive SUVs or a truck because in a wreck, it's a law of physics, right? Person in the larger car usually wins. And to be secure requires a family plan so that everyone will know how to respond in a family disaster. How will they get a hold of the next of kin, or what happens if the cell phone and the cell towers don't work? Where will we go to reassemble as a family, to come together? And how do we get there? And being secure, especially coming into the hurricane season, and the threat of, or reading about, that we're going to have more storms this season, requires us to have basic emergency supplies. Bottled water for a week, food, a good first aid kit, maybe a camp stove or fuel, right? All of these things are what immediately came to my mind in this preparation. And as they say, the devil's in the details, right? And there's got to be a million different details. So the list can go on and on and on. And honestly, as much as I believe in being prepared, and I'm prepared for some dangers, I'm unprepared for others. Preparation makes good sense, but no amount of effort can prepare us against every danger. So in our gospel lesson today, Jesus takes kind of a different approach to the issue of security. He's been talking about money and the security that it offers or even fails to offer. He told about a rich man who, upon becoming even richer, said, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Just relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But what did God say? He said, "You fool, this very night your soul is being demanded of you." Jesus' point is that money doesn't buy security. He advises us not to be consumed by money, but to be rich towards God. He advises us not to be consumed for our security in this life, but to store up treasure for eternity. Sell that which you have and give gifts to the needy. Make for yourselves purses which don't grow old, a treasure in the heavens that doesn't fail, where no thief approaches, neither moth destroys. So what does Jesus mean here? Is he saying, just give it away? Give away all your money? Probably not. I don't think so. In this scripture, Jesus is calling us to lift our eyes from the everyday concerns that lie at our feet and look up. Look towards the horizon. Lift our head. Walk in confidence. He's calling us to see the bigger picture. He means that if it's important to provide for our bodies, it's also important for us to provide for our souls. He means that if it's important to guard our lives on earth, it's even more important to guard our lives for eternity. As he has one bit of advice, his one bit of advice on how to do this is to sell that which you have and give gifts to the needy. He often emphasizes the special place that God has for the poor and the powerless, the widows and the orphans, for the sick and the marginalized people. Jesus tells us that if we want to show our love for God, one of the best ways to do that is by taking care of people in need. So what does that look like? What does that look like? So I want to put a pause on this for a minute. And I want you to watch. When we walk, right? When I'm walking and I'm looking at you, I'm not looking at my feet, right? I'm looking at you all. I'm not here trying to figure out where my foot is going to land, right? I have the assuredness that where I'm walking, the ground is there. It's going to meet my foot. It's going to accept my weight. And I'm going to be able to move forward. Right? It's called a zone of visual acuity. And we, when we're walking, we're looking upright. Perhaps our shoulders are back. Our arms are at a gait. Right? And we're moving. We're okay with that. We have that confidence that we're in that space. Not in the space behind us from where we came. Not in the space that's way up there in the narthex, right? We're here in this space together. But I'm not here. And that's what God is asking us to do. Lift our head. Lift and put our shoulders back, right? Accept where we're at. And be okay with that, right? So I want you to think about that as your pedestrians today. Yes, I'm bringing in DOT with me today. But when you're walking from your car and you're aware of your present surroundings, when you're walking to your car from service today, walking in the aisle, wherever you are, going to work, going to the house in the front door, where is your assuredness and your trust for where your step is? And think about what Christ is asking us to make that transfer for yourselves. To look up and be confident in where God is calling us in that way. So one of the best ways for taking care of people in need. Take off the pause button. Right? How do we do that? What does that look like for us? Think about what we do here, what we get to do here at White Memorial, right? We have a food pantry service where we serve those that are in need through the West Johnson Food Bank. So it might mean a donation for that when we're in the grocery store and we're thinking and then listening to the Spirit's call of what it is that we could do to look up. It might mean an offering for disaster relief, right? People down east are still recovering from Hurricane Matthew. And that could mean a monetary donation, or it could mean a physical. Go down there. Figure out what you can do. Who do we contact? How do we make that happen? It might mean volunteering at your elementary school and tutoring a kid how to read and just sitting with them. In that way, it might mean helping in the community garden. Go stand on your head to pull weeds, right? Go out and mow or weed eat or take the vegetables to the Johnson Food Bank. go to the food bank itself and help to arrange the materials on the shelves, or help the kids, or just be with the kids as they distribute to those that are in need. It might mean cooking a meal for someone. Doesn't mean that they need it, that they're, you know, perhaps they've been in the hospital or they're just short. It could mean just you needed to cook a meal for somebody and allow them to take a deep breath. You know, perhaps they do have time. But that kind of outward expression of just cooking a meal for someone and bringing it over and saying, you know, I know you're taking care of kids. I know you got one, two jobs. I know you're running from one place to the other. Or, you know, I know you don't have a lot going on, but here's a meal anyway. Anyway. It might mean mowing somebody's yard, right? Whether they know how to accept that help or not, right? There are a million ways, different ways, to help the needy. And what God expects of us depends on the opportunities that He places before us. We need to keep our eyes open to these possibilities. And we need to keep our hearts open to caring about what people need. It's not about us. It's about responding to someone else's need. And we need to keep our ears open and listen for those opportunities to serve. Most of us, we wish we had the resources with which to help. We wish we could do more, right? If I only. Y'all could fill in that blank, right? God doesn't expect us to give what we don't have. But He does expect us to use what we do have to benefit and for the benefit of others. Whether it's a little or a lot. Because in God's hands, a little becomes a lot. John Sutherland Bonnell put it this way. Take that gift that God has entrusted to you, no matter how humble it may be, and use it in the service of Christ and your fellow traveler. Christ will make it glow and shine like the very stars in heaven. And someone else put it this way. I am not everyone, but I am someone. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, I will do by the grace of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.